Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Hello and welcome to Bubbly Bibbly, the podcast about books and bubbles, literature and libations, authors and alcohol.
We love books and bubbly. We are friends who offer a curated book review section on our website and a hilarious podcast. We discuss books, drinks, and stories from our lives. I'm Rachel.
And I am Carmen. Have you seen that chart of cartoon faces that they use in hospitals to gauge how much pain a patient is in?
I have. It goes from the frowny face to the happy face.
Yes, 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 yes. It's on a scale of 1 to 10, but there are only 5 faces. So basically, it lets you give what would be a half star in the normal book review section of 1 to 5.
Right. And you know, they should have a different set for men and women or people who've had a baby and then everyone else. Because once you've had a baby, you know, that's a new set of measuring pain.
That is so true. But, you know, the old saying of a mom being sick and still doing everything and the man getting just a tiny bit sick and he thinks he's dying.
Yes. In this episode, we're not talking about the pain difference for men and women. Carmen and I are going to talk about reading systems. So, I have made my 5-star cocktail, which is the French Gimlet. It's my go-to, never fail cocktail. Is so delish. And then tonight I added a splash of blueberry simple syrup.
Oh, that you and John made from the blueberries in your yard.
Yes. Oh my gosh, it's so good.
Now, that's different from the regular gimlet in that it has champagne in it?
I don't know. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's what makes it fancy.
French, right. Makes it fancy.
Yes, yes. when we were talking earlier on the telephone, you mentioned the French gimlet. So I decided I was going to make a gimlet. And, you know, every time I make a gimlet, it reminds me of my friend Whit, who says
yes,
that...
I think of you too now.
Only
so
alcoholics drink a gimlet. So cheers.
So look at us. I am reading. I am now on, actually, it's this, probably this 6th book I'm reading, Game of Thrones. And I think it's actually, I just love it so much. It's about this girl who is... She's an orphan, her parents are killed, and a king of assassins finds her, and he trains her, and then she finds out who she really is and works through this big, long journey. It's kind of like Game of Thrones meets fairies. I don't know. It's really cool.
How many are in the series? I know you're on the 7th, so there must be a lot.
There's 7.
Oh, this is the last one.
Right. I thought it was the last one. I have Tower of Dawn is what I'm reading. I guess there may be 8 then, because there's Ash and Mist or something is the last book. I'm not on the last book yet.
Okay.
I'm not looking forward to the series ending, but I just keep reading one after another because I got to figure out what's happening.
Well, I've really been on a reading kick lately. So
yay.
I read Remarkably Bright Creatures.
Yes, love that.
And
Marcellus.
Totally see how you love Marcellus. And then the book is over on my bar. I can see it from here, but I can't see the title. And maybe Girl. the gimlet is keeping me from
focusing. Yeah, there you go, girl.
Okay, so I'll find the title before this is over, but I have to tell you what it's about because this book changed me. It changed me, which makes it even worse that I can't find the name of it in my mind. But it is about a book that has been written. It's called Theo. Theo, like the man's name.
Oh, no two persons.
Okay, thank you.
Because I read that too. It's amazing.
Okay. I have read People of the Book by Geraldine Brooks about a book who goes, through time. But I've never read a book about how one book changes the lives of so many people. So All of these people are it's a different year and they're in different situations and serendipity really brings them to this book, Theo. And it has a huge impact in very different ways on each one of them. And I loved this book so much. I'm going to go out and buy it for my library, but then something else happened. I picked up The Mitford Affair. I think that's Melanie Benjamin. And I started reading it. And after reading No Two Persons, it was like pointless drivel. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's a very good book. I'm sure it is. But just reading about the Mitford sisters and, based on real people. And One of them, Diana, was married to the Guinness magnate. And then she divorced him and went to this fascist guy during World War II. And she married him. And I just couldn't read it. I could not read it after such a life-changing book that I had just read. So anyway.
No Two Persons is real. It's by Erica Baumeister, right?
Oh, that's right. And
it's a beautiful story. And I love that she brings it kind of like a full circle moment. You had a satisfying end.
Yes.
Loved it. I agree. It's like one of those books where you put it down and you're like, oh, wow. Yeah.
Yes. And, to say that a book changes you when you read as much as you and I do, that's a huge thing.
It is.
So I really encourage everyone to put this book on their TBR because it's so, so lovely.
I agree. Well, let's see how others rate books and what kind of systems make sense for each of us.
Okay, so first let's talk about rating books. So as I've said over and over, a book is not just a collection of words. It is part of the author. The author puts heart and soul into the book that they write. It takes years to write some of these books. And with a very few exceptions, I just think a great deal of respect should be given when you are writing a review.
You're right. And I've been thinking about when I threw JoJo Moore's Me Before You across the room when I finished reading it and saying that. I hated it. But then you called me on that and you were like, you asked me if I had the same strong reaction or if I thought of a book so long after I finished it, was it really that bad then? I mean, like, why? You know what I mean? You were like, you're still thinking about it. And it gave you a reaction. And so that should be a good book.
Well, that's exactly right. You talked about that book a lot and you saw the movie.
Well, yeah. And what I was doing was rating it lower because I really didn't like the way it ended, you know? And the rating I gave it was from pure emotional outrage, you know?
Yes. And you know, that brings up a really good point on rating. Ratings are never totally objective. So it depends on what we're going through, you know, in our personal lives or at work or, you know, just in general, when we read a book. So our mental state, how the subject matter of the book will affect us based on all of these other attributes. Sometimes it's not a good time to read a particular book because our interpretation of it could be skewed because of our circumstance.
Exactly. And you also need to be careful in reading a book because maybe you don't like the storyline. I mean, it may be beautifully written, but you don't like the setting or you agree with the characters' depictions or, like me, how the story ends. And so when you're reviewing, you need to look a lot of different things, not just from like my perspective.
Yes. And if you want to respect the author and quite honestly, be taken seriously as a reviewer, every review needs to be, to me, carefully considered.
I agree. And before we get into how others review, let's talk about how you and I, we review.
Okay. When I first started a reading blog, I rated on a scale of what I called looks, and I ranked them from 1 to 5.
Okay. Looks? What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So one look was, I wish I hadn't looked. Oh. Two looks was, I looked and didn't like what I saw. 3 looks was, I looked and I liked it. Mm-hmm. 4, as a matter of fact, I probably looked again. 4 Ooh. Looks is more, 4 looks is more like an ogle. I looked and I turned my head to see it from the back.
Ow.
And okay. Then 5 looks is, what's your name and number, baby?
Okay, that's a pretty good rating system right there.
How do you rate your reads?
Okay, so I do the star system. So mm-hmm. My 1 star is did not like it, or probably didn't even finish reading it. 2 stars is below average with probably bad writing or bad grammar. And just for the record, if I catch bad grammar, then it's truly, truly bad.
You're not a grammar Nazi like I am?
Well, I kind of am, actually, but I'm low key on it. I'm not like, you know. But 3 stars, it was worth my time, kind of, you know, above average. 4 star is total enjoyment of the story, the writing, the subject. You know what I mean? It was just easy read, fun. Mm-hmm. 5 stars is when I have like the book hangover. Oh, and yeah. Usually I've actually hugged a book before, literally, you know. Aww. Like I get done and I'm like, oh my gosh, this was so good.
Oh, I like that. Well, when we come back, we're going to look at some of the ways bookish websites review. Now, this might get a little bit cumbersome because we're going to talk about different websites and how they review. And they are very similar. And so the first one we're going to look at is Amazon. Amazon also uses a 5-star rating. So 5 stars, I love it. 4 stars, I like it. 3 stars, it's okay. 2 stars, I didn't like it. 1 star, I hate it. So that's pretty straightforward.
Okay, and Goodreads is much of the same, which is not surprising since they're owned by Amazon. So 5 stars, amazing. 4 stars, Really liked it. 3 stars. Liked it. 2 stars. It was okay. 1 star. Did not like it. It's a little softer than Amazon's, I think.
Yeah, but really along those same lines, you're right.
Right.
NetGalley goes with whether or not you would recommend the book. So 5 stars, strongly recommended. 4 stars, yes, I recommend. 3 stars, maybe recommend. 2 stars, not really recommend. And 1 star, no, don't recommend.
And if you don't know, you can join NetGalley. And you can set reading preferences and receive galleys or pre-releases of books in exchange for your unbiased review on your social media.
Yes, and you're more likely to get the galleys if you post reviews in several places and if you post reviews on most of the books that you read. So it's a really awesome. Cool thing.
Yeah.
The next website is BookBub, and BookBub is going to begin to point out problems with this disparate rating system that I was talking about. 5 stars is I love it. 4 stars is I like it. 3 stars, it's okay. 2 stars, I didn't like it. 1 star, I hated it. So if you notice, it's really similar to the Goodreads rating, but with Goodreads, 2 stars is it's okay, where in this one, 3 stars means it's okay. So 2 stars on Goodreads equals 3 stars on BookBub.
And very rarely do these sites share what their criteria is for the rating. They don't give the specifics or guidelines for a reviewer to consider before giving a number of stars.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm a big fan of the 10-point rating scale. And I really think I'm going to start employing this because you can give what amounts to half points on the 5-star scale. And that's where that pain indicator that we talked about in the opening, that's
right,
where that comes
right.
in. So, for example, I just finished The Sanatorium by Sarah Pierce, and there were times that I wanted to put the book down because the detective, the main character, was so wishy-washy in her decision-making and so easily manipulated, and no seasoned detective would make the errors that she made. But other aspects of the story were really well done and flowed on without skipping a beat. But then on the other hand, again, there would be a loose thread, a tiny storyline that was never developed. But I had a hard time putting the book down because it was overall compelling. So in the end, I gave it 2 stars because I felt that it didn't deserve to sit next to the 3 stars that I had already awarded that were on my shelf. But 2 stars seems too low for the reading pleasure that it did give me. So I would have liked to have given it a 3 or even a 4 on a 10-point rating, and that would have felt right and respectful to the author.
Right. I agree with you. So I find that I truly do want to give a book that I've read 4 to 5 stars. I just do. It's just for the time and effort I know that the writer has put into the story and written, you know. But alas, you have to be truthful. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I find it hard to give a book a bad rating, especially if it's popular and one that everyone loves. And so sometimes when I see a 4-star book that I'm like, it was really a 2 or 3 for me. It makes me want to pause and think, did I miss something?
Yes. Well, let's come back and talk about what we think you should consider when you're giving a book a rating.
All books are definitely not created equal. For example, a 4-star rating for a literary book by Ann Patchett is totally different than a 4-star rating for, let's say, a fun beach read.
Absolutely.
But the rating systems don't allow us to rate based on the genre, merit to society or how much it helped us escape. I think that's what you were trying to say about the system with more choices like the 10 point.
That is exactly right. But even that, I don't think could address the disparities in the worthiness of books and why we rate them what we do. For example, this Erica Bauermeister book that we talked about earlier, I am going to think about it for years. And like I told you before, it changed me a little. 5 stars. But that rating is for a very different reason than I awarded Cassandra in Reverse, because I read it in one day. And any book that I read in one day is an automatic 5 stars for me. But there were very, very different books that affected me very, very different ways.
I got you, girl. I mean, I love that. And I do the same thing to an extent. Like, I will read a 5-star book and then look back at my last 5-star book and think, no way, that was a 5-star now. Like, it changes my perspective. So I'll go back and change what I thought was a 5-star at the time and maybe drop it down to 4. I think that way I'm continuing to improve my ratings and in a way improve my reading and the books that I choose.
Mm. There are rating scales out there that take the components of a book into consideration. And I like this type of rating scale, but it's a little intense for what I consider myself to be, and that's the casual reader.
Well, maybe if we got paid to rate books, right? We could use this one. I think I know the kind you mean. I mean, it takes into account the writing, the character development, plots, the depth of the themes or theme, and, you know, some such as that.
Yeah. Each section is rated, and then the ratings are combined and averaged. I mean, that is a really extensive way to give a rating, but I really just want to close the book at the end, sit in my chair, and think about what I just read. Like, did it drag? Did I consider putting it down? Did I feel empathy for the characters? Did I escape into the book? I guess I want to think about the whole thing as a whole thing. And then I just haphazardly give it 1 to 5 stars.
I think that's what we all do as casual readers. But I also think that regularly assessing our rating system is good because, like I said, I think it helps us be better readers in the long run.
Mm-hmm. And the sound of our cheering fans means it's time for listener comments.
Thank you to Cassie for loving our episode on literary animals. And girl, we hear you and support you for putting aside Stephen King's After Pet Sematary.
And on that same episode, Karen mentioned that she learned a lot about kindness and acceptance from Charlotte's Web. I really, really love that books, and especially children's books, can teach us so much regardless of our age.
Let us know what kind of scale you use when you're rating your books. And we also want to know if you read books based on ratings. And if you do, which one do you pay attention to the most?
And also tell us what you like to consider when you are assigning a rating.
We always want to hear from you, and we have some great conversations on our Facebook group. And if you haven't joined, just do a little search on Bubbly Bibbly in the Facebook groups, ask to join, and you can be part of our little community.
And I feel like we need to have another Bubbly Bibbly online cocktail hour soon. So,
oh yes,
yeah, let us know what you think about that.
And remember, Ernest Hemingway said, "There's no friend as loyal as a book."
Thank you. It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.